chapter number 6. And 2 Kings chapter number 6. I did bring an axe for a good reason this morning. You'll see when we read the scripture. The book of 2 Kings chapter number 6. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Second Kings chapter 6, verse number 1. We'll begin reading. The Bible said, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for letting us be here today and all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I ask this morning that you would speak to our hearts from thy word. I pray, Lord, that you would show us the power that is in the word of God that is available unto thy children. I pray, Lord, that we'd never get to the place where we think we can do your work in the energy of our flesh. But Lord, we need your power. We need your presence. We need the help of the Spirit of God. We need you to work and move. And Lord, unless you do that, then everything that we attempt to do is just all in vain. Lord, I pray for your help this morning. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Lord, I really need your help now as much as I ever have in all my life and in all the years since you've called me to preach. I pray for your help, your power this morning. I pray you'd speak to the church. We live in a day. We need to have revival in our midst, in our churches, our community, our county, our state, our country. Lord, we see this a desperate spiritual need. God, you're the only one that can fill that void that we have. Lord, help us this morning. Have your way. Speak to our hearts. I pray nothing would hinder in the service, and that there'd just be great liberty to preach the Word of God. I want to thank you for the good Sunday school lesson, Lord, how we're reminded how you suffered for us upon the cross of Calvary so that we might be saved. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's lost, I pray you'd show them, convict them, show them their great need of salvation. And Lord, we will thank you for all that you do. Help us right now. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 5 one more time this morning as we get started. The Bible said, "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed," what the Bible says. And this past week, I had a very similar experience happen unto me. I think it was on Monday. And I was out splitting wood. I was using a Go Devil and a splitting wedge. And I'd never had this happen before, but as I came down to hit that wedge with my Go Devil, the head just absolutely flew off the handle. And I'd never had it happen like that fast. I mean, there's no warning whatsoever. That head flew off. And the haft or the handle just landed on the top of that piece of wood. And I reached down, I picked up the head there, and I looked at what had happened, and I thought to myself in my mind, I thought, well, I guess I know what I'm supposed to preach on Sunday. And then really I forgot about that until about Thursday, and I started praying about and thinking about what I was going to preach on Sunday, and I did. I came and I looked and I read over this passage of Scripture in the Bible where the man's axe head fell off into the water, and got studying about it, and sure enough, I believe that's what the Lord would have me to preach on this morning. But I won't give you a title to the message. I want to preach on this subject, what to do when your head falls off. What to do when your head falls off. That's what happened here in verse number 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. So I want to preach on what to do when your head falls off. Now, this is a familiar passage of Scripture, but I've never preached on this before as far as I can remember. But this is one of the many miracles which Elisha performed in his prophetic ministry. And Elisha, he performed many different miracles. And this is really a strange passage of Scripture. In fact, it might be one of those where we would read these 7 verses here and just ask yourself the question, why is that in the Bible? What is the purpose of this miracle of the axe head that swam through the water and came back to the man? And so in the beginning this morning, I just want to give you a key thought. And if we'll just put this in our minds, first of all, this morning, it'll help us to understand the reason behind this passage of Scripture. But when your head falls off, your axe head we're talking about, what happens is you have lost your cutting edge. You have lost your effectiveness to do what you were doing. You have lost your power when your head falls off. And when I say power, what I'm talking about, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus told the disciples to go into the upper room and to wait. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Until the power of God came upon them, they could really do nothing. And until the power of God comes upon us and helps us in our spiritual work, you and I can do nothing. We need the power of God. And so the axe head is representative of spiritual power. You and I in our Christian lives, we need spiritual power to do what the Lord has called us to do. And if you don't have the Lord's power in your life, in your ministry, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, a Sunday school teacher, singing in the choir, preaching the Word of God, whatever it is that you do, being a witness to your friends and your neighbors, if you do not have the power of God upon your life, you're not going to be effective. We need the power of God. We need spiritual power in our lives. So we're going to look at these 7 verses this morning, and there's a great many lessons. The first thing I want to point out what to do when your head falls off is the setting or the scene that we have before us here in the Word of God. Now, if the prophets, and Elisha was over the prophets, there was actually a school of prophets that Elisha sort of looked over, and he was the head over, as far as I understand it from the Bible. But if the prophets were a church and Elisha was the pastor, well, this is about as ideal of a situation that any pastor would love to have. There's nothing bad really going on in this passage of Scripture, but there's a lot of good things that are going on in 2 Kings chapter number 6. In fact, if Elisha was like a pastor, and I guess maybe 3 times in this past week I've had different people talk to me and they ask the question. I talked to a missionary yesterday and he asked me the question. He said, how's the church going? That's what people ask a pastor. How's the church going? Well, if somebody would have asked Elisha, how's the church going? He could have said, real good, and not been lying about it. not being exaggerating about it, Elisha has a ministry going down there with that school of prophets. Real good. Things are going real good down there. And he'd have been telling the truth about it. How's things going? They're going real good. Let me point out about four things from the setting in this passage of Scripture. It was a time of separation. Now, I'm not going to go back into chapter 5 except for one verse, verse number 27. And what had just happened here is Elisha's helper, Gehazi, he had sinned against the Lord, and the leprosy of Naaman had been healed of leprosy, but it went on Gehazi. And that's what happened in chapter number 5 without going into detail any further. But in chapter 5, verse 27, it said, "The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow." In chapter 6, verse 1, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." When Gehazi came home and had this leprosy, these prophets that lived and dwelt there with Elisha, you know what they decided? They said, I believe now is a good time for us to put some distance between ourselves and Gehazi. And leprosy in the Bible, did you know, is a type of sin. We live in a day and time where the church is mixing and mingling with sin and the world, and people really don't think very much about it at all. But I'll tell you this morning, it's still in the Bible. Ephesians 5 and 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." It's what the Bible says. And I'm sure Gehazi, he was a real worldly type individual, we might say. And I'm sure that when the prophets said, you know what, I believe this place is pretty small for us to be living with a leper, because that's what would have happened. They said, I believe it's time we went over and built us a new building to live in. I'm sure Gehazi in his liberal mindedness probably said, but fellas, God is love. He wouldn't have you to go away from me like that. And I'm sure those prophets said, we agree with you. Yes, God is love, but leprosy is still contagious. And I think there ought to be some separation. Don't you think that you can live and mingle and get all involved in the sin of this world and it not get on you? Because it will. The Bible said, have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so it was a time, believe it or not, and it used to be that way in the church, that there was a separation from that which was sinful. And that's how it was in Elisha's church. His time of separation. It was not only a time of separation, but it was a time of inspiration. In verse number 1, it said, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." That means it's too small for all of us. And so they seen among themselves. They were inspired in and of themselves. They were self-motivated. What I'm saying, it wasn't Elisha driving them into this, let's go out and build a new building. They had a vision for the future. Boy, when the people have a vision for the future, when the people want to do something for the Lord, when they take personal responsibility for the ministry, you talk about the preacher saying, amen, amen. Boy, that's a blessing. These fellas have seen a vision of what God wants us to do. And it's their idea. They want to go out and build this building, a new place for us. It was a time of expansion. It's a time of inspiration. It's a time of blessing going on in Elisha's ministry. It was a time of unification. Look in verse number 2. They said, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." Do you notice there all the us and we? And this is, boy, this is God's people, and they are in unity together and wanting to do something for God. Boy, you talk about a blessing. The Bible said in Psalms 133 and verse number 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And they weren't fighting and fussing among themselves. They said, "Let's get together and do something for God." And Elisha said, I like how he said, "Go ye." Well, that's a blessing. There's some good things going on here in chapter number 6. It was a time of invitation. It said in verse number 3, "And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go." So you know what? They weren't trying to get rid of Elisha. They weren't trying to get away from Elisha. Somebody said the other day, they was talking about all the churches around that didn't have pastors. I've got news for people. There's a lot of churches, they don't want a pastor. And that might be why they don't have a pastor. I wish everything was perfect. I wish everything was as it ought to be. But just honestly, there's a lot of churches, they don't even want a pastor, really. They want to go off by themselves and do their own thing and have somebody maybe come preach for them every once in a while and go visit the people that they don't want to take time to go visit. And there's just a lot of churches like that. But I'm telling you, they weren't like that. They said to Elisha, "Now, Brother Elisha, we're not leaving you out. We want you to come. We all want you to be involved." And let me tell you this morning, it's a good thing they had Elisha along, because they're going to need Elisha, the man of God. So they said, "We want to make sure and clear this up. We want you to go." And he answered in verse number 3, he said, "I will go." Boy, everybody's getting along good together, and they're all in unity, and they're all going to do something for God, and it's a time of invitation. And in verse number 4, it's a time of perspiration. It said in verse number 4, "So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood." And that's hard work. And we use chainsaws a lot of times and don't use axes, but I'm telling you, it's still hard work. They just no way that this type of work is an easy work. And so they're out there and they're sweating and they're working together and things are going along real good. And the reason I'm taking time to give you the setting this morning is to point out that you can lose your head in the best of circumstances. You can lose your head when everything is going along real good. A church can just on the outside just be looking like everything is just perfect. And next thing you know, you've lost your power. You've lost your effectiveness. You've lost your spiritual edge when everything looks like it's going just 100% best that it could be going. You can lose your power. So there's the setting, number one. Well, what do you do when you lose your head? Number two, you stop. That's what you do. You stop when you lose your head. Verse number 5, the Bible said, "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water." Now, you either stop or you are stopped. It's the same thing. And so this man was out there. I'll try to be careful this morning. He's out there and he's felling a beam, and boy, they're all just working and sweating along. And the next thing you know, boy, the head's gone off the axe. Now you've got to give credit to that young man, I'm going to call him a young man, I believe he's younger than Elisha, you've got to give a lot of credit to him because he had the good sense to stop. But you know where we are in the modern church age, a lot of times we don't even realize that our head is falling off and we're just flailing away. We're just working busy as bees and we don't have no power. We don't have no effectiveness about what we're doing. We don't have no spiritual edge from God about what we're doing. That's how modern day Christianity is. Would you agree with me this morning? We have less power, but more activity than the generations before us. I'll say that again. We have less power, but more activity. Wouldn't it be a happy day if we could find the key to having more power and less activity? Well, wouldn't that be a blessing? And I'm not against activity. I think it's a good thing. I'm not throwing off on it, but I'm telling you, we'd see a whole lot more done for the honor and glory of God if we had more power. We wouldn't have to work near as hard. That'd be a good thing. And I believe that's a wise thing. I believe that'd be a godly thing to pursue after. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 10. Keep your place here, but if you want to find it, I'll read a verse over there. It's Psalms, Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes. I was studying about this and this verse come to my mind. This, of course, is a book that King Solomon wrote. And he's a very wise man. And in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, he said this. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. And what that's saying there, it's talking about if you've got an axe head. And it's what it is saying, if the iron be blunt, if this is dull, and he do not whet the edge, that means sharpen his axe, then it says, then must he put to more strength. If you don't have a sharp axe head, then you're going to have to work a whole lot harder to do the same amount of work. And then it says in the last part of verse 10, but wisdom is profitable to direct. I was thinking about that. I thought about my grandpa Greer. Used to work around him quite a bit. And we would go up on the hill and cut mullein. And he's probably the first one that showed me anything about cutting wood, him and or dad, and they all let us start about the same time. But I remember if we was going up on the hill to cut briars and mullein and stuff, he carried a mowing scythe. And he carried a wet rock, that's what it's called, in his pocket. And every once in a while, as he's going along, he'd stop what he was doing. He'd turn that mowing scythe upside down. He'd put it up under his arm. I can see him doing this in my mind. Put his left hand on the top of that blade. Put pressure down on it. He'd pull that wet rock out. And I can hear it in my mind. Shh. 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 And he'd just do that every once in a while. I think to myself, he just wasting time. He's all time stopping and scraping on that mowing scythe. But boy, I really thought I was doing something with my hoe. And I'd go along while he's wasting time over there sharpening his thing. I thought, well, these just little old weeds. And boy, me and my brother, we're going along like we're chopping wood. And we're chopping and we're beating and we're thrashing in the briars there. And really probably cutting them off too high and just being boys. And he'd say, you want me to sharpen your hoe? I'd say, no. I don't have time for that. And so we'd go along beating, but he'd go along slicing. It always amazed me how easy he made that look. He'd just go along like it wasn't nothing. I'd say, Paul, let me have a hand Let me have a try at that. And boy, we couldn't do nothing. We couldn't do nothing. See, wisdom knows how important it is to have something sharp. If we were sharper, we wouldn't have to work near as hard as we do to see just a little bit of something that done for the honor and the glory of God. But as I was studying this, I noticed that it does not seem to matter why the head fell off. Did you notice that as we was reading over that? Doesn't say a thing about why the axe head fell off. But I got to thinking about that. They didn't form a committee to find out. They didn't conduct a Barna research survey to find out why that axe head fell off. It's not even mentioned in the Word of God. Why the axe head fell off. But I thought to myself, maybe it fell off because of inexperience. The Bible says in verse number 5, for it was borrowed. You know, a lot of times when somebody comes and borrows something, they don't have one of their own because they probably don't know how to use it. So here this man, I could just imagine in my mind, he goes down to his neighbor. He says, we got a building project going on down at the church. I know you got a new axe over there. Could I borrow it? And the neighbor says, I'd be glad to let you borrow it. Do you know how to use it? Well, of course I know how to use it. About like me and a mowing size. You ever know anybody like that? You can't tell them nothing. Because they already know everything. Do you know how to use it? Oh, yeah, I know how to use it. I think about probably about every pastor that pastors his first church. Do you know what you're doing? Sure I do. No, you don't. And I didn't know, and Preacher Melvin didn't know, and you're entering into a brand new world when you're talking about having to do something in life that requires spiritual power, not just physical power. You know how to use that axe head? Oh, I most certainly do. And he probably went out there and didn't know what he was doing. Next thing you know, the axe head fell off into the water. It might have happened because of inexperience. God is very, let's see, how can I put this? Spiritual power is not like buying a gallon of milk down at the store. It's hard to come by and comes with a price, and you'd better be careful with it. I remember the first time the Lord really impressed that on my heart. Talking about preaching the Word of God. Every preacher, if there's anything at him, he wants to have power when he preaches, and he wants to be faithful to the Word of God. Sometimes, especially a younger preacher, can be a little more violent than he needs to be. And I remember, boy, when I was a young preacher, Forest Grove's going to have a lot of crowns for putting up with me in the first years of my pastoral ministry. But I remember I was preaching along the lines of something one time, and I was really rough about it. And the Lord impressed on my heart after that. I was reading over there about Peter taking that sword and cutting that guy's ear off. You remember that? And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, you better be careful with that sword. You see, the Bible is our sword. You better be careful with that sword. You might hurt somebody. Boy, I'd hate to do more harm than good. And let me tell you, in our Christian lives, if we're not careful, other people might perceive that we think we're holier than thou, but we're not. You're made out of the same dirt as everybody else. And you're just as sinful in and of your own self as everybody else. And if it wasn't for the grace of God in your life, you'd be right in the same mud puddle as everybody else. Just be thankful for the grace and mercy of God in your life. And don't go around harming people with the Word of God. So it might have fell off because of inexperience. It might have fell off because of inattention. He just wasn't paying attention to what was going on. And that's very easy to do that in our spiritual lives. We are too busy to stop and sharpen our spiritual lives. You got to pay attention to your spiritual life or you will get dull. We're too busy a lot of times to do that. We're not paying attention. We are not stopping and examining what's going on. If you work with an axe or a sledgehammer or something, it's a good idea to look at the top of that every once in a while. Make sure that wedge is down in there. I can't remember what that's called. Looks like a little cut nail. Make sure it's not loose on there because you could hurt somebody. They could just fly off. You might be chopping along. And usually you can tell before the head comes off because something's just not right. It's solid, and then it feels a little loose all of a sudden. You better stop what you're doing and look. That's getting ready to fly off. Sometimes if I'm outside, I'll just beat that back down on the top of my chop block there. But sometimes you got to go in and you got to work on it. That's how our spiritual life is. We do not pay attention sometimes. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you where you need to be? Are you where you ought to be? Are you paying attention to your spiritual life? Your walk with God? Maybe it was inexperience. Maybe it was inattention. Maybe there was an incident that caused it to fall off. Now, when my head fell off the other day, I got thinking about that. I've used that all winter long, and it hadn't hardly even gotten loose. But all of a sudden, it just fell off. And I put it back on, of course, worked on it, got it solid again. But I got to thinking about that. Why did that head fall off? And I remembered that just a few licks before it fell off, I had a mislick. You ever have a mislick? And what I did one time, how many times does it take? Evidently, it takes about one time. I had come across on top of that wedge, and I missed it. That's a mislick. That's mountain jargon for I missed. And instead of hitting metal on metal, I like that sound. Ring, ring, I missed. Thud, and you hit back here on the handle, and you look like a cartoon with Bugs Bunny, and you go, and when I was learning to do this with my grandpa or my dad, and you'd miss like that, it always killed me. They'd say, don't do that. I never told them then, but I'll tell my daddy today, I never done that on purpose. I wasn't trying to do that because I'm telling you, it hurts. It hurts when you miss. But you know what? We do that in our spiritual lives sometimes. We have mislicks. We do dumb things. We do sinful things. We do things sometimes that we ought not to have done, but we done it anyway. And we sin, and we mess up, and we do dangerous things in our lives. And the next thing we know, our power is gone. We're like Samson over there. Every time I read about Samson, I think to myself, you big dummy. Do you ever think about that when you read about Samson? I mean, Delilah, on to him and on to him. Where's your power? Where's the secret of your power? And he never picked up that every time he told her that she'd done to him the thing that he told her would cause him to lose his power. And then all of a sudden here was the Philistines. He never picked up on that. And finally he told her, if you cut my hair, and she cut his hair. And she said, behold, the Philistines be upon thee. Judges chapter 16, verse number 20. And the Bible says that he got up and he went out as he had aforetime. And he said, I'll shake myself and I'll just go out there and fight him. Just like I always do. But there's a sad verse in there. It says, but he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He went out to fight and didn't even know his power was gone. He'd done some dumb things in his life, and it caused him to lose his power. You and I can do some things in our life cause us to lose our spiritual power. But the Bible doesn't say why that axe head fell off, but when your head falls off, you're stopped. You can't do anything. You cannot work anymore. You can try. It's not that he didn't know how. He just couldn't. So you stop. Number three, when your head falls off, there is a saying. There needs to be a saying. Verse number five, it said, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said. Notice what he did. He cried and said, alas, master, exclamation point, for it was borrowed. I want to say this morning that spiritual power is not mine. It's not yours. It comes from the Lord. It's just like that axe head there. It's borrowed from the Lord. He's the one that's got the power. And if we have any power, it comes from Him. But you know what? As soon as he recognized the problem, he confessed it. He felt it. As soon as that power was gone, he said, alas, master. It bothered him. Boy, if we would confess it as soon as we recognized it, we wouldn't go so long without it. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, I like that. David said in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He knew something was gone. He knew something was wrong and he wanted to get it back. Restore unto me. You ought to find that and underline it. Psalms 51:12. Restore unto me. I wonder if we recognize how desperately we need the Lord's power. We went to that meeting about the book last Monday night. I say we, some of us in the church, we went. We sat together. We sat through an hour. 10 on each side, some for, 10 for, 10 against that book. I'm not going to explain all what I'm talking about. But I listened to every speaker. There might have been two of them that had a little bit of power. But most of them didn't have no power. But if the Christians that were there had power, everybody that went away would have been affected by that. We live in a day and time we're trying to do the Lord's work without any power. One boy had some power. He was a young man, younger than me. I call him a boy, young man. He had some power in what he said. I think he's the only one that used the Bible to back up what he had to say. And they snickered and laughed at him, the people behind us. And there was another lady, she had some power in what she said against that book because what she said come from her heart more than what anybody else said. But I did notice that as we sat there, very few had any power behind what. We need some power. We're living in a wicked, ungodly day. We need some power. And I wonder if we even recognize how desperately we need the Lord's power. I wonder if we recognize what it is to have it. And what it is not to have it. I'm telling you this morning, the Lord's power is real. There ought to be some times when we come to the house of God and meet together to worship, that when we go away, all we can say is, wow, that was God. That was God came by this morning. That was the Lord that did that. God's real. His power is real. I sang it about over in John chapter number 11. That's where Lazarus died. They sent for the Lord Jesus Christ to come because his friend Lazarus was sick. But the Lord tarried for 4 days. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But for 4 days they waited on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what? During that time period, Lazarus died. They had the funeral. They put him in the tomb. They were able in and of themselves to pray for Lazarus, to ask the Lord to come. They were able in and of themselves to stand by the bed while he passed away. They were able to hold the funeral service. They were able to say words over Lazarus. They were able to put him in the tomb. They were able to stay with Mary and Martha and try to comfort them during their time of sorrow. You know what? There's a lot of things that we can do without the Lord. I don't mean that. You know what I'm saying? Like them. They did all that, and the Lord wasn't even there. But you know what? Only until the Lord passed by. Was there enough power for somebody to come along and say, roll the stone away. Lord, by now he stinketh. He knew what he was doing. Roll the stone away. And when they rolled the stone out of the way, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. That's power. The Lord's got the power. We can do a lot of things without the Lord. But what really needs to be done, only the Lord can do. We can go through all the motions of religion without the Lord. But for there to be a resurrecting power, you've got to have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came by, said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. And he was bound in his grave clothes. And he even said, loose him and let him go. Only the Lord could do that. We need power. So we see there needs to be a saying. He said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The Lord passed by and manifested his great power. Then in verse number 6, there's a showing. There's a showing. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he showed him the place. That's what the Bible says. Well, I talk to people all the time and somebody says something like this, I just don't know what happened in my spiritual life. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I don't know what happened to me, preacher. I was going along so good. You know what? That's not going to cut it. If you want to have the power of God back in your life. This man that lost the axe head, he wasn't over there in the bushes looking for that axe head. He wasn't walking up down the side of the creek bank looking in the sand and turning over rocks looking for that axe head. He knew where it went. He knew exactly where he went. He was able to show Elisha exactly where it was that the splash went into the water. He didn't say to himself, well, maybe I never had it anyway. I think there's a lot of younger Christians especially, and maybe some older ones, that they have convinced themselves that the power of God wasn't as real as they thought it was once upon a time. Well, this is just the way it is now. Maybe it wasn't really like that once upon a time. Yes, it was. Churches used to have the power once upon a time. We had more power once upon a time than we do now. But he didn't say, well, maybe I never had it. He said, right there's where it splashed. Right there's the place that it went into the water. Let me say this morning, if you ever had the power of God upon your spiritual life, you'll find it where you lost it. You won't find it somewhere else. You'll find it where you lost it. Say, preacher, I don't know where I lost it. Yes, you do know where you lost it too. Maybe it was when you became less faithful to reading your Bible and praying unto the Lord. That'll cause you to lose your spiritual power. Maybe it was at the place in your life where you had a change of some kind. Maybe a career, a job, all the things. Maybe it was when you started making more money. Felt like you didn't need the Lord as much as you did once upon a time. Maybe it was when you started making less money. See, it's all kinds of things can happen in your life. Maybe it was when you brought a computer into your home and you fell in love with that more than you did where you used to, the Word of God. Maybe it's when you got a smartphone. We went this past weekend down to Winston, took my older girls out for Valentine's Day, and all day long, everywhere we went, and I waited upon them to get done with their shopping and stuff, people are married to them things. We sat in a restaurant to wait to go in and eat, and more than half of the people sitting in there, everybody's got their nose stuck in a flipping, messing. Why does anybody want to date or get married anymore? If you've got a phone, you got evidently got everything you could want. People just walking around, flipping on them things, messing with them things. I'm telling you, you talk about sucking the spiritual life out of the church. You can't even look in somebody's eyeballs no more. People going along, flipping on. I like to find somebody that's texting and driving, and I like to blow my horn right when I get, and you watch how they act. They'll throw that thing through the roof. They think they've got run over. No, I've not done that, but I've been tempted to. That's how people are living their lives. What is it you say? I don't know how you could lose your spiritual power, but I bet you know when you lost your spiritual power. Now, if you'll get real specific, we can go on down to the last thing I'll show you. You say, there's a saying, there's a confession, I lost it. There's a showing, there is where I lost it. If we can get real specific about these things, there can be number five, there can be a swimming. Now it said, not verse number five, that's number five, but verse six, the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. That's the only person you ever heard say, my head is swimming. And they meant exactly what they said. People say, oh, my head's swimming. His head was swimming. And the Bible said that he reached out his hand and he took it. And so the Bible said the iron did swim. The Jordan, they went down, they did all this work beside the Jordan. The Jordan is a type of dying to yourself. The Bible says that Elisha took a stick, cast it into the water. That stick is a type of the cross of the Lord Jesus. It's a type of the cross. It's a type of Jesus going down into the place of death and the resurrection coming back out. That's what that's a type of. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says the iron did swim. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. You say, how is it swimming? It's doing the backstroke. Because it's coming back to him. I don't know how it swam. I don't know if it floated. I don't know if it had little arms. I don't know. But I believe this. I believe when he reached down and took it, that stick had got back together with that head. And I believe when he pulled that axe out of the water, that's a best axe. That wasn't no made in China junk. That axe is probably sitting in somebody's tool shed somewhere today. Somebody said, where'd you get that? I don't know, but it's bound to be old. I think my great-great-grandpa got that at a yard sale off of a fellow that had found it somewhere down near Jordan. I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me. That's the power of God. And if anything is done for any spiritual good, it's a miracle. It is a miracle that you're saved. Only God could do that. God performed a miracle in your life. It is a miracle that Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, any church, anywhere, is still standing for the gospel. If the world could, they'd shut them all down tomorrow. Well, why don't they? Because Jesus said, behold, I set a open door before thee, or a door before thee. No man can shut it. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 8. Psalm 62, verse number 11. The psalmist said over there, yea, I've heard this, that power belongeth unto God. See, the Lord's got the power. And we need to have power in our midst to do what God's called us to do. And so there is a swimming of the iron, a miracle that took place in Elisha's ministry. We need the power of God. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. God wants us to have power in our lives. Say, how do we do that? By faith. It's how we operate in the spiritual realm. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I appreciate your good attention this morning.